Attention HR professionals. Are you tired of dealing with poor performance from your managers? Are you sick of having managers run to you for every single little problem? Would you like to build the confidence and competence of your management team? If so, then contact Boss Builders. At Boss Builders, we specialize in building up the skills and confidence of your organization's managers. We do this through our popular Driving Results on-site training programs, our signature program, the Video-Driven Boss Builder Academy, and we even license our course materials so you and your internal training staff can get those managers confident and competent. For more information on how we can help you improve the performance of your organization's managers, contact us today at www.thebossbuilders.com or at 931-221-2988. Should the cabin lose pressure, oxygen masks will drop from the overhead area. Please place the mask over your own mouth and nose before assisting others. Hello, and welcome to another episode of the HR Oxygen Podcast, the show focused on the overworked, overwhelmed, and underappreciated HR professional. And now, here is the host of our show, the Boss Builder, Mac Monroe.
Unrestrained, my essence glows between worlds. In the deep tenderness of twilight across a bridge, along a nebula gliding, this ride held by the spirit of the wilderness, a silence immense, where light's universe becomes music to my soul. Union as the cradle of wellness, a trance almost, expands in some universe not cornered by winds, drifting into a meditative realm with ease unmapped by this earthly compass. I'm at the risk of a heavenly touch, this wisdom leading nothingness through a beautiful mystery. There's no finality in this haloed splendor, only a discernment meeting the God within. That, from the bliss of solitude, noises hide me in an inner sanctuary, which honors peace, that finding my way, I am nothing but whole. That is a poem by Net on Claude, and it's really untitled. But what I wanted you to hear in that is inner peace, taking a look inside and figuring out what's going on inside there. As an HR professional, you probably don't get the time to do that, and I believe you probably are suffering the consequence. The title of this podcast is an odd one. It's simply titled, I Don't Have Time for One More Podcast. Maybe, though, this is the one conversation that will change my life. Our guest on this podcast is Annie Shepak. She's a speaker, she's an educator, and she's a coach, and her primary focus is wellness. But she has got a magic bullet for you. Something that I hadn't heard about until I actually chatted with her. Not tried it yet, but I'm going to. And based on what she tells me, this could be the one thing that helps you gain focus so you can bring your A game to your job. She's the author of Looking for Health in All the Right Places. She's a lot of fun. I really enjoy chatting with her. So let's quit talking about her and let's talk to her. Let's welcome our guest, Annie Shepak. Annie Shepak, welcome to the show.
Well, good morning, Mac. Thank you.
You know, Annie, this is going to be very different than the way we typically do the podcast. And I'm actually going to start by not talking about you and not even talking to you. I'm going to let you talk to us because you have an inspiring story, which only you can tell. And so I'm going to give you some space and I want you to tell your story.
Why, thank you. And hi to everyone. And before I start with my story, I'm going to ask each of you listening, including Mac, what is the story you're telling yourself about your life, your work, your energy, your health? And how are you feeling really? Let's go to that scale of 1 to 10. And how are you feeling on that scale, with a 10 being fabulous? Now, if you had asked me that question, I think it was almost 25, 26 years ago, if you asked me that question, I would have, if I trusted you, or if I dared to acknowledge it, I was a 3 on that 10-point scale. I was overstressed, overwhelmed. I felt I was unappreciated. Nobody was listening to me. I was a single mom with a long commute, big job that was more demanding than I thought my shoulders were broad enough to even handle. I had a child with some major problems, and my body hurt. Everything ached. I was sick a lot. I didn't sleep well. I had digestive issues. And I was at that point that I would wake up in the morning and look at the clock and say, oh my gosh, I can be back in bed in 15 hours or 16 or whatever it was. That's not a way to live your life. And today, here's the good news. Today I can say I feel fabulous. And it's all these years later. And so I'm at an age, as you can imagine, that so many people are saying at your age, you have to expect. And I'm here to teach and share with each of you to not buy into that cultural mindset that everybody has it or that you have to expect something. So I'm hoping that by the time we disconnect from this conversation, that you will feel more connected with yourself to know that you can give yourself the gift of health and that you can write a whole new story about your life, what you're thinking about, what you're eating, how you experience your day and your work and your colleagues and your family, your friends, and begin to see each day, each moment as a new beginning.
So Annie, before we go into where to start to make the change to feel better, to be less stressed, to become your own best health insurance, do you have any statistics to share what's happening? Where's the data?
Well, I have a little bit. I'm not somebody who generally runs to the numbers, but I know there are some of you who will go, I need to know what this is all about. So 50% of us, because we have an epidemic of chronic disease, you know, 50% of us have a diagnosis of at least one chronic disease. The allergies, the arthritis, the asthma, the back pain, the chronic fatigue syndrome, Crohn's, cancer, even Alzheimer's, all of it. So 50% have a diagnosis of at least one. 70% of us are taking at least one prescription drug. 100 million of us are either diabetic or pre-diabetic. And I really want you to hear this, that 70% of visits to the doctors are for stress-related reasons. Now, you may not go to the doctor and say, oh, I'm so stressed, because you'll go with some symptom. Well, every one of your symptoms, generally, they come from stress, and stress leads to inflammation, and inflammation leads to disease. So knowing that stress, inflammation, it gives you something to go, I want to work on the stress. So there's just a little piece to start with. And I also want you to know that chronic disease, all of these chronic diseases that everybody's talking about, are generally preventable and they're reversible. That's number one. Number two, and that's the good news, that they're preventable and reversible, and that every symptom that we have is your body's wisdom trying to get your attention so you'll make some changes in your life. Now, I didn't listen many years ago to all those symptoms that I was having. I just pushed through. So let me give you an example. Mac, if I can use you as an example.
Sure.
If you get a headache, what do?
Well, I usually take a Tylenol.
Perfect. But your body's wisdom is not saying Tylenol deficiency, is it? If you're listening to your body's wisdom, it's not saying Tylenol deficiency. It might be saying what?
It might be saying there's something that's bothering you, and here's how I'm telling you.
Yeah.
So the way I'm thinking about this, Annie, it's kind of like if I am crying out in pain, your solution, if you're the Tylenol, is like putting duct tape over my mouth, right?
Whoa, I couldn't have come up with that one. Yes. Yeah, and that's not really it. I mean, your body is saying, listen to me, and do something, but not what you've been doing in terms of masking the symptoms. So, you know, until recently, I would not have said that there's a magic bullet, that you have to do this and this and this, or I suggest you might. And as we talk a little further later on in our conversation, Mac, I want to share with everybody what I consider to be my magic bullet.
Well, what is it? I'm waiting on it.
Well, you're going to have to wait a little bit for that.
Oh, come on. Okay. All right. I'll wait for the magic bullet because I'm really intrigued.
Okay, great.
All right. So in your earlier story that you opened with, Annie, you mentioned, and you gave us a little bit of your background and the things you're wrestling with, you were a 3 on the 10-point scale. So what did you do? And the people listening to this podcast today, whether you are on your way to work listening in the car, whether you are in your office at lunch with the door shut and the lights off, pretending you're not there and listening, or you are on your way home with very little left in the tank, what can those people do?
Well, what I did, and then they can decide what pieces of this they want to begin to adopt, because I'm the first one to say you can't necessarily do it all at once. So when I was at 3 and I was faking it till I made it, as they say, I was approaching one of those birthdays ending in a 0. And I think with those birthdays, if at any time we sometimes pause a little bit more. And so as feeling as badly as I did, I thought, what am I going to do? I'm going to take a vacation. And I went to, you know, I was single, so I thought, I'll just go to Mexico to Club Med. And the first morning I was sitting on a beach and I thought, I'm going to try meditation. Well, that many years ago, I didn't know anybody who meditated or practiced mindfulness. I don't even think I knew that word back then. So I pull up a lounge chair and I'm going to do whatever I think meditation is. And I'm fidgeting and I'm looking at my watch and then I'm fidgeting some more. And then it probably 10, 15 minutes had passed. And I thought, I am out of here. I'm out of here. This isn't getting me anywhere. And at that point, I heard a voice. Now, and it was right in my left ear, by my left ear, and it was a man's voice. And I looked, knowing I wasn't going to see a soul on that beach. And before anybody hangs up, disconnects, you have to know I was his left brain, and I wasn't religious, I wasn't spiritual. At that point, I was none of that. It was, if you can't see it, it doesn't exist. But yet I had heard six words spoken in metaphor. And I knew right then and there that my life was going to change. And so what I did, I didn't know what I was going to do when I came back to Washington, D.C., the area where I lived and still live at this point. I came back knowing I was going to make a change. So to answer your question, what did I do? The first thing I began to do was to change my diet. Now, there weren't the zillions of books 25, 26 years ago that there are now, which at some level that there's so much now, it's wonderful. And then on the other hand, that too can be overwhelming. So I began shopping at the organic market because I knew organic was good for me. So the bottom line, to just make it kind of short, is I embraced a mostly plant-based diet, mostly, and it was organic. And then when it came to my proteins, I learned very quickly that, I'm trying to reduce the stressors because toxins are stressors. Toxins in the foods are stressors. And so I began to eat grass-fed meat, grass-fed, the free range, where there's no grain going into them. And I would eat wild, and I still do eat this way, wild caught salmon. And wild-caught salmon is very pricey, but we don't need such large amounts that people normally eat. Like when you go to a restaurant and get so much protein, you don't need a lot. And that's what I began to do. And sugar was an issue for me. I mean, my kids and I would go to the Baskin Robbins almost every day in the summertime. They knew which flavor each of us was going to order. I didn't know better. And so as I began to make these changes, I began to feel better. So I still, even though this, I don't think anything up until we talk in a few minutes about the so-called, what I call my magic bullet, I think in order to be healthy and to feel fabulous and not to have some of the symptoms that we were talking about and no chronic disease, I don't think we can be healthy and eat the chemicalized, artificial, highly refined junk food diet that so many people eat. You know, it's unconscious for many people, it's habit, but I think we have to change our diets. So that's number one. And then it's what I also learned along the way, that whole idea of almost wolfing the food down. I invite people to begin to eat slowly. And what really helps is to put your fork down and chew your food and then pick it back up again. And it'll take a little bit longer, but I think it will help you to be less stressed and much more healthy. And try to finish eating. I know when you're going to work and you don't get home till 6 or 7, but if you can be done eating by 7 or 7:30 at the latest. I mean, because I have the luxury of working from home these days, I will try to be done eating by 6 so that there's plenty of time before you go to bed for your body to almost finish the digestive process. So these are the basics with respect to the foods. And then you go, well, what else? Are there some other things that I need to be doing to feel better? And we all know exercise. I like to use the word moving because sometimes the word exercising, it becomes a have to, as opposed to if you're moving, you're doing it maybe because you kind of enjoy moving around. For example, as you and I are talking, Mac, I'm standing here at my desk because I don't want to be sitting all the time. So exercise, moving, and something you really love doing. Now, I had started exercising, I think I was in my mid-20s when I first began learning that exercise was good for you. So I say that to say that exercise in and of itself was not the cure-all. Or sometimes I hear clients say, well, I know I just need to exercise more and I'll lose weight. No, that's not it. You want to get moving because it feels good to move and it's good for your body. And there's plenty of evidence to show that, yes, we need to be moving at every age. But in terms of the losing weight, that really has to do with what you put into your body. So it's what you eat. It's your food. It's your food and the quality of the food. It's getting moving. So by the time, you know, I've been doing all of this for about a year because I was learning as I went. I was driving across the 14th Street Bridge one morning and I lived in Northern Virginia and I commuted to Baltimore. So you know that that was probably another one of the big stressors in my life. And I realized I hadn't had a positive thought since I got out of bed an hour and a half before. And I went, there's a connection here. So like you had mentioned earlier about going to sleep with listening to certain stories, right. I began to listen to CDs that would be more of the inspirational CDs, the positive thinking, that concept. And I don't mean you don't feel your feelings, but you don't go into that story of he said, she said, can you believe? Because that's what I did. All the way to Baltimore, I was going, oh God, I don't know if I can deal with so-and-so today. Or how do I, you know, can I get all of this done? And then how do I manage a family issue back home. I mean, we all have these things, but it's how we deal with it, with our thoughts, that makes such a difference. So that was the next piece of my puzzle. I talk about my puzzle pieces, the foods, the exercise, the role of the thoughts, the thinking. I think it's a big one. And that is an even bigger one to challenge, for to take on for so many people. And so this is all kind of on a like I'm climbing a ladder, you know, sort of that ladder of feeling better and better. And then I got more and more into the concept of alternative integrative medicine. And what I did there, and you may hear people say, well, I'm going to the acupuncturist, I'm going to the homeopathist, I'm going to the chiropractor. I made a little, what I call a miscalculation along through there, thinking that if I went to them, I didn't have to do my own work. So what I realized is that I was substituting the alternative physician, for example, or the alternative practitioner for the conventional doctor, thinking that would fix me. So the big message I want to share with everybody is that we have to do the work. And so as I continued to do my work, that was when the healing just, I upped the ante, so to speak. That commitment got even bigger. And finally, I thought, I still got some aches and pains going on here. I'm still stressed. And I started yoga. And yoga really was, and I now teach yoga. I've been teaching yoga for many years. And yoga became something that helped me relax a bit more. It wasn't the hardcore, what I call the hardcore yoga. If you go to yoga to exercise, I think a lot of yoga in America is that. And what I embrace is a very gentle, more of a, some would call it a restorative kind of yoga, because I think that's what we really need. So for many years, yoga was and became a daily practice for me.
And now let's take a break for a quick word from our sponsor. What do you do when you have an employee who is highly skilled and highly motivated, but is still not successful? Some of these symptoms might be a person who's abrasive to others. Maybe they're not able to effectively communicate to others. Sometimes they say inappropriate things in meetings or in a one-on-one session. You observe them being culturally insensitive or highly opinionated. Or maybe they just have a few rough edges that need to be removed in order to be successful. In these cases, training is not your best option. At Boss Builders, we recommend coaching. Our strategic partner, Wisdom Tree Coaching, provides one-on-one or group coaching to resolve focus factor problems. The ICF-certified coaches at Wisdom Tree Coaching use behavioral assessments and 360 surveys to define the root issue of the problem and then co-create solutions with the client. Wisdom Tree Coaching also facilitates a popular practical course entitled Coaching as a Discipline for Managers. Your managers will get helpful and useful skills to provide a coaching approach with their direct reports to mitigate and eliminate focus issues. Remember, training fixes skill problems. The best way to fix a behavior problem is through coaching. Contact the professionals at Wisdom Tree Coaching at 304-549-4630, or you can find them online at wisdomtreecoaching.com. And now back to the show. Well, Annie, before we move on, because I thought what you gave us here was like the magic shotgun shell with like five things in it, and I guess the bullet's coming. But I want to go back to that moment on the beach, and would you be willing to share what those six words were?
I thought you might go to that, and I actually was debating, because at some level, I would love to have people buy my book. It's the book that is the guide I wish I had had when I started all of this, because I intended in my book called Looking for Health in All the Right Places, for people to not have to wade through so much and have it take maybe so many years to get to that place. So in there, I do give those words. But
okay, so I don't tell me the words. Nope, I want people to buy the book. Yeah, but I want to find out about the magic bullet. Because all of these things, you've given me five strategies, and I will be honest now, at the time we're recording this podcast, I'm coming off a very arduous road trip, which was 14 hours plus of driving, 2 airline trips, not to mention some delayed flights. And I am probably at a very annoyed point this morning. What topped it off, if we're going to be honest, is I woke up and realized my in-laws had spent the night. So I got in at midnight last night, and at 5 a.m., their dog started growling, woke my dogs up. So I am in that place where I'm kind of like this morning, maybe a 0.5 on the 10-point scale. So this is really, really speaking to me, because as I look through your five, I'm going to call them the pellets in the shotgun shell, because I know the bullet's coming up. So the diet. So yesterday, I'll tell you what I ate. I had a burger with some chips, and I had a double Jack Daniels. And let's see, I'm pretty sure that meat in the hamburger was probably corn-fed. I did have a bag of peanut M&Ms, which was probably, there's my sugar intake. I moved from the terminal gate to my other gate. That was about it. Lifted my bag into the overhead bin. I guess that counts as movement, right? My thoughts were absolutely of the most annoying type. I happened to sit next to somebody that wanted to chatter the whole flight, which annoyed me. Let's see. I did take a Motrin because my hips were hurting. And yoga, well, basically, I leaned over and tied my shoes. That's about as good as it gets. So everything that you just described as a healing trifecta or quadfecta or whatever you want to call it is the complete opposite of what I did. And I think I am feeling the experience today. So this has really, really been helpful.
Great. And you know what? Laughter is the best medicine, right? And so I'm laughing, and I'm assuming some of the people who are listening to this podcast are laughing right now too. So thank you. That's also, we can add that to some of the things we can do is to get more laughter in our lives, even if we have to laugh at ourselves. So now what I do when I'm going to travel is I will go to the health food store before I go. And I mean, if it's one of those where it's just, I'm at the airport early and I'm going to be traveling during lunchtime, I have my lunch with me. So I've got a healthy lunch that's going to get me to my destination feeling a lot more energy. And when I'm at the airport waiting or for those delayed flights, instead of getting, oh God, you know, that kind of thing, which I've done plenty of in the past, use it as an opportunity to say, listen to something that inspires you or carry a little book that inspires you on the way. I guess it could be mine, couldn't it? But that wasn't intended to get that in there, but it just slipped.
It's fine, because when you need something like that, you hope somebody's going to talk about it. So yeah, that's going to be my first stop after we finish the podcast.
And don't just, in my view, I don't go to the gate and sit there. I'm usually walking around, even if it's in a circle. And, you know, I'm just doing something to kind of be moving a little bit, to stretch and breathe, all of that, if that helps.
Okay. Yeah,
and sometimes maybe that Jack Daniels was just what you needed. But generally, I would say no liquor with your flights. But
well, I like to think of it as sort of like cough syrup.
Oh, I see. Okay, liquor. Fine.
Okay. All right. All right. So I think everybody's ready. I know I'm ready. I want the bullet. So let's hear the bullet.
So here it is. It's Qigong. Wisdom healing Qigong. Because just like in yoga, with yoga, there are many different forms. Wisdom healing Qigong. Now, what is Qigong? I do believe that in the next 20 years, it may even become more popular in this country than yoga. Qigong is
And Annie, how do you spell that? Just if somebody wants to find out about it.
It can either be spelled Q-I-G-O-N-G or Chi, C-H-I-G-O-N-G, all one word. And Chi is energy and Gong is the practice. So Qigong is a 5,000-year-old practice from China, Tibet, that involves working with energy. And 20 years ago, I would have said, oh, this is all very woo-woo. But now that I have been really working with it and committed, I'm going back to that word commitment, that I've been committed to it for 4 years, so I get it. So this form of Qigong is a medical form of Qigong. And I have seen people with Parkinson's disease. I've seen people with Lyme disease. I've seen people with autoimmune disorders, for example. Those diseases can be cured. So with medical Qigong, I believe, from what I have witnessed, what I have studied, that these chronic diseases can be prevented and reversed. Now, that doesn't mean you get to go back to that junk food diet all the time, because I think it's still important what you eat. But this form of Qigong, and I even find myself beginning to move just a little bit as I'm talking to you here, because I get very excited and I feel it in my body. It's just very gentle movement. Some of you might think of Tai Chi, but Tai Chi is considered more of a martial art, and yes, it is relaxing. What I'm talking about is a form that it has the science behind it, that you can heal from these diseases and prevent them. Now, the biggest piece for me, and it might be for everybody else, is that I am happier than I have ever been. So as I was moving along that 10-point scale and getting to 7 and 8, 9, I would say that on many days, I'm on 11 at least, I'm happier. And that's what I'm hearing from my students, that I'm lighter, I'm happier. It is truly the missing link. So with the Qigong, it's these very gentle movements. There is sound healing. And this is where, for those of you who are not at all familiar with some of these ancient 5,000-year-old practices from the East, you might go, I don't know. With the sound healing, because so much of what leads to disease in the body, the stressors, we hold in our emotions, we hold in our organs. So the sounds help us to create space, if you will, so that those old emotions, those stuck emotions can go. And I'm not sure that I can paint as great a picture as you can of your airport experience, Mac, but if you think of a stream running through the woods, just kind of a gentle stream flowing through the woods. And then some beavers come along and they go, oh, wait a minute, we want to build a house here. And so they build their dam and the water can't flow. So that's what's happened in our amazing bodies, that we have all these stressors from our thoughts, from maybe we get hurt, physically as well as emotionally, and the energy gets blocked and gets blocked. And so what this practice of Qigong does is to open those blockages. So instead of going to somebody to fix us, we are doing these practices that help us to heal from the inside out. And our body's wisdom is such that you don't go, oh, I have a headache today, I'll do something that will work on the headache. We would still do the same practices because maybe that headache is coming from some blocked energy, say in your hip. I don't know. But all I can say is that when I made the commitment And a little sidebar story here. When I finished that yoga teacher training in La Jolla, California, of all places, it was a 1 month, very intensive program. And somebody said to me on a Friday night, "There's somebody doing some kind of a freebie at a church here. Do you want to go?" And I went, "Sure." And there was a man on the stage, Chinese man, smiling a lot, and he was doing these movements and laughing even along the way. And I'm going, "Oh, this is kind of weird, kind of different." But I must have left my email address, because 6 months later, I find myself at a weekend workshop with Master Ming Tong. And at the end of that weekend, I go, "Whoa, I feel really good." And yet I made a conscious decision that I didn't really understand the yoga yet. So how could I do this? And I chose to stay with the yoga. So about 4 years ago, you know how those, something will come to you just like that. And sometimes you ignore it, sometimes you don't. But I had this, what was that Chinese man's name? And that idea that sometimes the name doesn't come to you right away, Ming Tong came to me just like that. And I went online. And in the intervening 20 years, almost 15 years, he had become an international teacher. And I think within 2 days, I had signed up for a 3-week retreat. It was intense, where I saw some of the sickest people I have ever seen. And I began to understand the power of wisdom healing, Qigong, and our healing. So I came home and signed up for online courses, but I wasn't really committed. And a year and a half ago, I was once again in one of those places of, now what do I do? And I knew I had to sign up for teacher training. And I thought, and I resisted, because I go, "Oh, maybe I'm too old. Oh, I've done teacher training before." And I did. And I would say about less than two months into it, that's when the happiness piece came. And I went, "Oh my gosh, something is so different." And anyway, that is the magic bullet, is the practice of wisdom healing Qigong. Now, before you can even ask me this question, it doesn't mean just coming to a class once a week, I don't think, but it's the beginning, because we all have to begin, as I've said before, we begin somewhere. If somebody has a chronic disease, you got to practice a lot more than that. But it is now at a place with me where it's a way of life. So I don't wake up in the morning and with negative thinking. I wake up with, and you know, what can I create today, so to speak? So that is my short story, or kind of short, with respect to the wisdom healing Qigong.
Well, you know, I'm putting all the pieces together. So the stream, the creek, whatever we talked about earlier, and then the beavers put up their dams right there. The wisdom healing Qigong is blowing the dams up, right?
Yeah.
But it seems too, and maybe I'm off on this, but I'm following you because I'm in this place right now, that if the river looks like the Anacostia River, that's not a good thing either, even if you got the wisdom healing Qigong. So these pieces seem to go well, the shotgun shell and the bullet. Or am I way off?
No, I don't think you are. Because while if you were just to go to a Qigong retreat, for example, and I had the good fortune to be in New Mexico for my own teacher certification. And in June, they serve organic food there. So that tells you, you don't just do the Qigong practice and continue with your junk food diet. But, and what the Qigong does, there's a part, because with the sound healing, we're working with our emotions. And there's a wonderful little technique that's among many that's called the inner smile. And, you know, sometimes I've suggested to clients before I was familiar with this Qigong, just go look in the mirror and smile at yourself. That's hard to do at some level because we're used to being very critical and judgmental of ourselves. And with the Qigong, one of the little easy practices we can do anytime is to practice the inner smile. So it's as though you take that little smiley face and turn it inside. So it's you're turning it around to yourself. And you can smile into your brain and all those stories that we tell ourselves till we don't. And we can smile into our heart. And we can smile into our kidneys and our digestive system and into our liver area where we hold anger. Because in each of these systems, we hold energies that can be transformed from the negative of the worry or the anger or the hate. And we can transform all of that. So for me, when I say Qigong is a magic bullet, it works with the emotions, it works with the thinking, and it works with the physical body. So all of that coming together, and there is meditation as well. So it's all of those pieces that are pretty much right there in that practice.
Well, you have a long journey, and it goes way back to that time at the beach. And now you've completely revamped your whole river, right? You've got those five areas. You are now a practitioner. So, Annie, what do you do with this now? Do you teach courses? I guess what I need to know is how can my listeners best reach out to you to find out more so they can go on this journey? And I will tell you, the week that I spent, most of that time was at HR conferences and seeing what people bring to the conference. It's probably their equivalent of going to the Club Med and sitting on the beach and yet, aside from me at my breakout yelling in their ear, there was nobody whispering in their ear. I would imagine if you were listening to this today, you can probably relate. And I'm hoping, you know, can reach out to Annie. So Annie, tell us how you can help us and tell us where to get that
book.
Okay,
the book you can get on Amazon. And the title
is the title
Looking for Health in All the Right Places. My last name is spelled SCHEPPACH. So my website, and I have a new website that reflects where I am now and what I love sharing with people, if they're ready, is annieshepak.com. And so I love teaching Qigong. Love, love, love it. And I love doing what we're doing right now. I love having an opportunity to speak at meetings, at conferences. And if somebody is truly ready and they want to work one-on-one, and again, I'm going back to that word commitment, if they're ready to commit, I am ready to be right there to be their guide on the side.
That's great. Well, the title of the podcast, when we were talking about what to call this, and you gave me a list, and I selected the one I thought based on our conversation. We call this, I Don't Have Time for One More Podcast. Maybe, though, this is the one conversation that will change my life. And I don't know whether it will be the one that changes my life. It's one that will make me make some changes in my life. So I appreciate that, Annie. But if you're listening to this today, I hope it's had that effect on you. And I would strongly encourage you to reach out to Annie, because I think all of us in our journey are going to need somebody to come alongside of us and help get us through. So Annie, I can't thank you enough for spending your morning with us today and sharing your journey, sharing your insights, being open with us, and sharing your passion about your new ventures. And best of luck as you continue in your personal and professional growth.
Thank you so much. And thank you everybody for listening as well. Thank you, Mac.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the HR Oxygen Podcast. We hope you found something today that will relieve your stress, feed your soul, and pump you up to face another day. At Boss Builders, we want to let you know that we appreciate the hard work you do every day as an HR professional. And, as a reminder, always make sure to adjust your own oxygen mask before attempting to help those around you. Be well.